gratitude to everyone this evening. Certainly, there are many alternatives of much variety of how to spend New Year's Eve. You have all chosen to come to begin the new year by offering your hearts in the loving service of Sri Radha Gopinath, by hearing their message and chanting their names in the association of wonderful spiritually minded people. The title of this evening's discussion is New Year's Resolutions, chosen by His Grace Gauranga Prabhu. And as the puppet on the strings of His order, I will try to speak something. Traditionally, throughout the ages, amongst thoughtful people, the new year coming is a time of reflection. Reflection into questions. What have I done during the past year? What have I achieved? What are my strengths and weaknesses? And where am I today? And in the coming year, what do I wish to do? Really, what are my priorities that I will hold sacred and valuable in my life? The Bhagavatam declares that with every rising and setting of the sun, a person is one day closer to death. Save and accept those who take pleasure in hearing chanting the glories of the Lord. For them, with every rising and the setting of the sun, one day closer to eternal life. In the 11th chapter of Sri Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells, when he reveals the universal form to Arjuna, time I am, controlling everything within material nature, devouring ultimately all living beings. Time is the energy of God Himself within material existence. Time is one of the five subjects that is emphasized within Bhagavad Gita. Time is activating the entire material creation. It is described when Krishna, he creates the Mahatattva, which is the potential material existence, which is like a cloud in the spiritual sky. And then by his own will, he creates the 24 material elements, the three modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. And then he glances upon that. And through his glance, he activates the three modes of nature with the power of time. And then all phenomena and all species of life are created. So time is so important, so sacred. It is the manifestation of God Himself. And how we utilize our time will determine the value of our lives. When a new year comes, it is a very, very suitable time to really contemplate and make plans, make resolutions of what are the priorities that I am going to pursue. Because a moment wasted cannot be bought back with all the wealth in Brahma's creation. There's nothing so precious as time. Vishnu Purana explains very, very succinctly that there is no greater tragedy in all of creation than for a human being who has this rare, special human birth to waste their time in forgetfulness of God. But unfortunately, material nature is created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in such a way to give all the inhabitants free will. And Maya, or the illusory energy, is there to facilitate the desires we may have that are contrary to the will of God. Daivihesu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. Maya is very powerful. Very, very powerful. How the material energy distracts us moment after moment from the real treasure that every soul is longing to achieve. Srila Prabhupada quotes that a miserly person is one who attains this human life and dies without realizing God. Dies like the animals. Human life is the junction in which we actually can make the choice and perfect our existence. Realize the true identity of the self and the unlimited treasure of happiness that we are meant to experience in relation to God. But Maya Devi, the illusory energy, creates a whole system with so many various intricate networks to distract our attention. To think that we can be happy through temporary material enjoyment. Govindadas prays, Kamala Dala Jala Jivana Talamala. What is the nature of all the acquisitions we may achieve within this world? It is like a single, it is like a drop of water on a leaf of a lotus flower. It is there for a moment, and then it slips away into oblivion. That is the nature of our wealth, our body, our prestige, all of our abilities, all of our friends and family members. They will all be all of these connections and relationships are extinguished by the power of time. But yet, we put so much of our life's energy into pursuing the mirages created by Maya. What is the nature of mirage? It looks like water that will quench our thirst. And we work so hard to achieve it, but then when we finally come to that reservoir, all we get is a mouthful of hot, dry sand. Krishna explains in Gita, Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvalokameheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam yatvamam shantimrichchati. If we actually want to achieve real peace, It's not difficult. Three things are required: to understand and live by the principles that Krishna is the supreme proprietor of everything that exists, and everything is ultimately meant for his enjoyment. Why? Because we are his eternal servants. And Krishna is the ever well-wishing friend of everyone. By following his instructions, by hearing his glories, by chanting his names, by living in harmony with his will, we can achieve the ultimate perfection. If we simply have faith in these three principles, we can achieve everlasting peace. But trying to create peace in a world where people are living foreign to their real nature is impossible. Janasya moho yamaham mameti. The basic principle of all suffering is declared in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That to think that I am this body and those things in relation to the body are mine. In this condition, we want to lord it over material nature. We think that we're the controller. And it becomes such a fever. Nunambramata kurute vikarma. That we become mad with the fever of trying to enjoy, trying to control, trying to be proprietor. The Gita declares, Kama esha, krodha esha, rajoguna shumudbhava, mahashano mahapapma vidye namiha vairanam. It is this kama, this passion to selfishly enjoy, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy. And when it's not gratified, it transforms into wrath. In the age of Kali, we see so much passion and so much wrath. Therefore, Kali Yuga is not a safe place. Padam padam yadvi padam natesham. There is danger at every step. Devotees are paradukaduki. The nature of a devotee is other people's suffering is our greatest suffering. We see, since time immemorial, great sages of all traditions, they are willing to undergo difficulties and pains and even sometimes death to help relieve the common people from their sufferings. And how much suffering there is in this world. And why? And what we could do about it. I would like to discuss this subject briefly this evening. A great catastrophe has come upon the world. This earthquake that took place off the coast of Indonesia and the tidal waves that it created has killed, according to the count now, approximately 120,000 people. Millions and millions of people are homeless with nothing. They've lost family members, loved ones, friends. They have no property, they have no food. Massive injuries with very little relief. It's devastating. When a devotee hears of this, how could we not weep? To feel the sufferings of so many people. Bhaktivedanta Hospital Most of the leaders have gone near Kanyakumari to try to do their part in helping those people. And we are so very grateful for them. It will not be an easy chore. Let us also try to understand from a scriptural point of view why these calamities come upon human society and cause so much sorrow and suffering. Repeatedly in the scriptures, it describes how the Lord appears. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuta nama dharmasya tadatmanam srijami. Again and again, to establish religion, dharma, and to annihilate irreligion. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, one example is the earth took the form of a cow to approach Brahma and ultimately Krishna, because the earth was overburdened with people who were acting improperly. What is the nature of this burden of the earth? There are two kinds of burdens. There is the burden of the beast, which is unbearable. And there is the burden of love, which is the source of great pleasure. Just like a mother. When a mother holds her child on her lap, even when the child's grown up, the child's heavy. It's a burden. But the mother feels extreme pleasure by the weight of that child. Similarly, when a businessman has lots of wealth, that wealth is heavy, but it gives him happiness. When great personalities take responsibility to help others selflessly, that is a burden. We were hearing about His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj. He has such a massive burden upon him, dealing with so many difficult situations and difficult places. But because it's a burden of love, it's a source of great pleasure for him and all people that he is in relationship with. The earth is declared to be our mother. The earth is not just a dead sphere that is there for human society to exploit and abuse. The earth is living. It is creating so much life. Or let us say, she is creating so much life. And since time immemorial, in all parts of the world, earth is addressed as mother. Aham bija pradapita, Krishna declares, I am the seed-giving father of all living beings. But just as the mother nourishes everything for the child, similarly, Mother Earth is giving us all our nourishment. She's providing everything. She's provided our bodies. And she's providing everything to sustain our bodies, everything to enjoy. How do we reciprocate with the gifts of Mother Earth? That is an all-important question that we must ask. The mother is meant to be respected and protected. And when Mother Earth is properly protected, she provides ample everything for everyone. But when she is exploited, abused, and practically raped by human society, there will be reactions. Massive reactions. We're warned about it constantly. Ecologically, spiritually, socially, on every level, it only makes sense. Several hundred years ago, the white man from Europe came to what we now call North America and literally stole all the land from the Native American Indians. And actually, most of the Indians were willing to cooperate. If they were just, they just wanted some fairness, even though it was all theirs before. But when they saw how reckless these Europeans were in just killing animals and deforesting the forest and just plundering, and this was hundreds of years ago before technology, one of the great Indian chiefs, Seattle, who Seattle, Washington was named after, he made a famous statement. He wrote a letter to the President of the United States, Andrew Jackson. And he said to the President of the United States that the earth is your mother. You must respect her, or she's going to react violently against you. The earth is the bed that you have to sleep on. If you pollute it, you are going to have to sleep and live in that mess. And look at the world today. Even from a scientific, ecological point of view, there has to be reactions when we abuse the earth the way we are doing today. What to speak of the spiritual, karmic consideration. We're drilling the earth for oil. We're deforesting massive, massive natural forests of the earth, which are absolutely required for every living being's survival. Now, if some of these things are done for noble purposes, then that's a burden of love that the earth accepts. But when it's based on greed, when it's based on egoism, when it's based on insensitivity and disrespect for the mother, there's going to be violent reactions. We're dumping mass deadly chemicals in the waters. Years ago, the North Sea, practically every fish was murdered, killed, washing to the shore. Even where I lived as a little boy at Lake Michigan, the alewives, there were mountains of dead fish just because they were dumping so much pollution in the lake. And we're polluting the air, horrifically polluting the air, the ozone breaking down. We're putting radiation, nuclear waste, and all sorts of poisons within the earth. Massive deadly chemicals killing the topsoil of the earth. How do you expect the earth to respond when all over the world they're testing nuclear
bombs on her surface. Massive, massive military marching upon her, taking her plush fields to grow and harvest intoxications that cause people to go mad and abuse their bodies and abuse others. Endless blood of innocent animals soaking the earth, slaughter, simply to satisfy the palate of human society. Millions and millions and millions of abortions every year of Mother Earth's own children being killed within the womb. Illicit sex, gambling. From an ecological point of view, if you're exploiting the oil, if you're polluting, if you're blowing off bombs, and from the karmic point of view, if people are exploiting the resources of the earth with greed, ego, there must be a reaction. There must be repeated reactions. It's to be expected. Dharma means the laws of God. If you do not follow the laws of the state, there is going to be reaction. And when it happens on a massive level, there's massive reactions. Srila Prabhupada described so nicely that the laws of the state, there's laws of nature. And according to the laws of nature, for every action, there is an equal corresponding reaction. Look at the irreligion that is taking place in the age of Kali. And this is a universal principle. Every devoted servant of God through all of time have come to teach us to follow the simple basic laws of God according to time, place, and circumstance. Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha, Lord Chaitanya, they all came to teach the basic principles. You must follow the laws of God. But in this age of Kali, people, out of their sentiment and on the basis of their egoism, they concoct all speculative ideas and justify horribly breaking the laws of God in the name of religion. According to my religion, it is a holy thing to cut your throat. Look at what's happening in the world today. Terrorism, hatred, so many concoctions. Therefore, Krishna tells in Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Ishami Masucha. That abandon all these varieties of religion and just surrender to me. That is what every great saintly person has taught. Jesus said, I have not come to do away with the laws. I have come to fulfill them. Just surrender to God. He said, this world is a place that you're going to have to suffer. He said, this world is a bridge. Cross over it, but don't be attached to building a house upon it. And that is what all the great sages have said. The devoted servants of the Lord come to this world to give shelter. And that is the purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement. Prabhupada said, we are not here to convert. We have come to enlighten people, to live in harmony with the laws of God, to live in harmony with the will of the earth that is supplying us everything.
Vidyavanaya sampane brahmane kavihastini suni chaiva sopake cha pandita samadarshana.
This is the nature of a devotee, that they are kind, compassionate, and merciful to everyone. They see every living being with equal vision, whether they're a Brahmin, a Shudra, a cow, an elephant, a dog, or a dog-eater, Chandala. He sees or she sees everyone with equal vision. Why? Because he sees within every heart is the spirit soul, part of God, my brother, my sister.
Trinadapi sunichena taror iva sahishnuma. Amani namana dena kirtaniya sadahari.
To be humble like a braid of grass, tolerant like a tree, eager to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. These are the qualities of one whose heart is pure. And thus they can always chant the names of the Lord. We have seen the devastating effect of a tidal wave. Massive exploitation, massive abuse of the earth, and the earth is reacting. And so many people have to suffer. When will human society learn? We must live in harmony with the will of Mother Earth and with the will of the Lord if we want peace and happiness within this world. I was just thinking that when you commit an offense to a Vaishnav, or when you commit sinful activities, the reaction is very similar to the earthquake that we have seen last Sunday. I read a statement by a very great authority on the subject of earthquakes from California. They're authorities because any day a massive earthquake could come in California. And according to a very, very senior geologist, he told me, the longer it takes till the earthquake comes, the more devastating it will be. And it's the wealthiest state of America. In fact, Hollywood is there, which is the, you may think it is the perverted reflection of Bollywood. They don't think like that, but everyone has their own opinion. So this authority was explaining that when there is an earthquake under the ocean, miles and miles down, you can't see it happening. And that quaking of the earth creates massive tidal wave. He reported that when the tidal wave is traveling over the sea, it's practically impossible to see it. Even with modern satellites, you just cannot see it. These tidal waves were moving at over 500 miles an hour for over 1,500 miles, and nobody could see that there was anything happening. You only see the tidal wave when it crashes to the shore.
then it manifests its full fury of devastation.
So similarly, people carelessly, they commit sinful activities. Individually and collectively, when there's massive collective activities that are plundering, exploiting, and destabilizing the Earth planet, there is going to be massive responses. But we think we get away with it. We don't see any reaction coming. We could go on year after year after year after year after year. The tidal wave's coming at us, but we don't even know until it comes to the shore of our life and devastation. And that's the way Vaishnava aparadha is. It's like tidal wave. You commit offenses to other due to egoism and disrespect. You hurt other people's hearts due to inconsiderate behavior for whatever reason. And it's like an earthquake to your spiritual life. And the reaction's on its way. But we think nothing's happening. And we go on making offenses. And we go on committing sinful acts. But then ultimately, that tidal wave is going to reach the shore of the present moment and cause spiritual devastation. Like the mad elephant. And all the efforts we've made to create our spiritual assets on the shore of life are just washed away, devastated by the tidal wave of our own reactions. So there is a great lesson, both collectively and individually, that we must be very careful to take very, very seriously. But Krishna is so kind. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijam yaham. In order to remove the burden of the earth, the Lord has descended again and again and again out of His causeless mercy. But who is taking His words seriously? The Lord descended and spoke Bhagavad Gita. And in other parts of the world, the Lord sent His representatives to speak the truth. But how many people take it seriously? We're just trying to build our treasures in this temporal world. And in the process, committing so many offenses. It's a big problem. When Krishna appeared, Mother Earth herself came before Him. It's very symbolic. When Krishna entered Mathura, there was a hunchback woman named Trivarka, also known as Kubja. And Trivarka was actually an expansion of Satyabhama. Or let us explain it systematically. Satyabhama is a goddess of fortune, the eternal consort of the Lord. Her expansion is Prithvi, which is Mother Earth, or Bhumi. Bhumi is the consort of the Lord. Have any of you ever been to Tirupati? In Tirupati, according to tradition, before you go to see Balaji, you're supposed to first offer your prayers and worship to Bhuvaraha. That is the tradition. Bhumi Devi and Varaha. Varaha is Vishnu himself, the Lord, and Bhu Devi is his consort, Mother Earth. So this Prithvi manifested herself as Kubja. Now Kubja, she was walking down the street with very fragrant, expensive, fine oils. Kamsa was taking all of her oils for his own demoniac purposes. Yes? Kamsa not only was a very powerful asura, but he very much represents the egoistic mindset of I and mine, without regard for the laws of God or nature. So yes, Kubja was being utilized in the service of Kamsa. And because of that association, she was a hunchback in a very ugly form. But Krishna saw her. A hunchback is a great burden. Yes? Can you imagine what a burden it is to have a hunchback? You can't stand up straight. It's a massive weight on you and you're just walking very difficultly and nobody wants to look at you. It's a big burden. So Mother Earth and Kubja was walking like a hunchback under the order of Kamsa, taking the fine oils to him. Krishna saw her and said, "Oh, beautiful lady." She wasn't beautiful. Nobody else thought she was beautiful. But Krishna saw the beauty within her. Ultimately, Krishna sees the beauty within every living being. We're all Satchidananda. We're all eternal. We're all his loving servants. Krishna said, "Oh, beautiful woman, please give me your scented oils." And Kubja was delighted, even though she had to go completely against the order of Kamsa. All the oils that he was expecting, she offered to Krishna and Balaram at Evo. And Krishna anointed their bodies with these oils. And Krishna was so happy with her that he put both of his feet on her two feet. And then with his two fingers, his two index fingers, he put them under her chin and pulled up. And she became straight. Her hunchback disappeared. And she became the most beautiful woman. I'm not going to describe her beauty. She was absolutely beautiful. And not only that, but Krishna actually awakened conjugal feelings of love, madhurya ras, within her heart. And she pulled Krishna's dhoti. And Krishna looked around and his friends were there. And he promised, "I will come to your home later." So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, our beloved Acharya, explains it in this way. That this is Krishna's mission, to remove the burden from Mother Earth, to remove her from her through the miseries of the weight of so many people plundering, raping, abusing, and committing sinful activities upon her. What is our right? We divide up the earth and call it our own, with no regard to God. But Krishna comes to remove that burden, and to remove it from any individual who takes shelter of him. Kali Kale Namabhupe Krishna Avatar. In the age of Kali, Krishna has descended within the sound of his holy name. Golokera Premadan Harinam Sankirtan. From Goloka Vrindavan, the holy name has descended as an avatar to remove the burden of the earth to anyone who takes shelter of Krishna in his name. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Ras Vigraha. The name is absolutely non-different than Krishna. It is Chintamani. It will fulfill all our innermost desires. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Yugavatar, came to promote this chanting of the holy names for the purpose of bringing actual peace and happiness in people's hearts. And if people do not have peace and happiness in their hearts, how will they spread it within the world? Peace on earth begins with you. Anybody could talk about it. Anyone can make demonstrations about it. But if you do not clean your heart and find real love yourself, what are you really going to do substantially for this planet and for the world? The holy name cleans the heart of all the burdens of lust, envy, anger, greed, pride, and illusion, and allows us to be true instruments of God's love in our every act, in our every word, in our every thought. That is what the world needs. Compassionate beings who are by their example and by their efforts actually trying to live in harmony with God's love. Is there any greater need within human society? If we're not a part of the solution, we are a part of the problem. There is no in-between. So Krishna has so kindly descended in his name. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chatuskritam dharma samstapanarataya sambhavami yuge yuge. To attract our hearts to his love, to his pastimes. To reestablish the true principles of religion, love and devotion to the Supreme, and compassion to all living beings. That is religion. That is the constitutional nature of the soul. When love of God is directed toward others in this world, it manifests as compassion. To annihilate irreligion and all the miscreants within us. For this reason, the Lord has appeared in his name. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called to all of us, Jeev jago, gauda chandra bole, kota nidra jayo maya pisa chira kole. Lord Chaitanya is calling, wake up, wake up, wake up. Spiritually, you are in a deep state of sleep on the lap of maya. Wake up. Chant the names of the Lord and be happy, be free. Spread the transcendental vibration. Mother Earth feels such deep pleasure and rejuvenation when the devotees are dancing upon her surface, loudly chanting the holy name. Dinahina yata chilo harinamu dharilo tara sakshi jagai madhai. The power of the holy name has been proven. Even jagai and madhai were delivered to the highest platform of pure love. They were murderers, rapists, thieves. They burned people's houses indiscriminately. They were drunkards. Can you imagine? If they had the technologies of the 21st century, all they had was their hands and some clubs, and they were causing absolute havoc. Can you imagine if they had bombs and guns and
computers. They would be the terrorists of all terrorists. They'd probably be hiding in the caves of Afghanistan. No, actually, they'd probably be ruling the world.
But the name of the Lord is so powerful that it cleansed their hearts and made them humble, compassionate instruments, only considering the welfare of others. Srila Prabhupada, our beloved Guru Maharaj, he saw the condition of Kali Yuga. He warned us so many times that the direction that human society is taking, creating so many artificial ways of plundering the earth, is going to have massive reactions. We should try to do our part to help people to understand. They're not going to be happy by all these artificial attempts. Happiness does not come from accumulation of power and wealth. Happiness can only come when the soul is united with God and acts with love toward other living beings. There is no other true happiness. Srila Prabhupada Jaladutta arrived in New York City, which is the capital of so much materialism. With all respects to Americans, illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meat eating are just the normal way of life, even for practically children. Yes? And it's getting worse and worse. He came to such a civilization alone. What did he have? He had faith in the order of his guru, who told him to spread the message of Lord Chaitanya throughout the world in the English language. He only had 40 rupees, and he didn't know a single person, and he was 70 years old, and he just a few days before had two heart attacks. He had faith in the order of his guru. He had complete faith in the power of Krishna's name to transform people's hearts. And he had a box of books which explained the real problems of life and how to solve them individually, socially, and collectively. And it is by the gift of his compassion that we have this opportunity to discuss these subjects on this occasion of New Year's Eve. It is traditional that on New Year's Eve people make resolutions. Prabhupada once explained, what was it? Resolution, revolution, dissolution, no solution. Yeah? That's the nature of most New Year's resolutions. But what should we really pray for on this special day? The juncture between 2003 and 2004. I'm sorry, I'm behind. 2004 and 2005. Sometimes I'm behind in the times.
I'm not going to go into any details, but there's many proofs and evidences about this statement. So, Krishna explains in Gita, Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha drita vrita namashantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta avash. My devotees are always chanting my holy names and endeavoring with great determination. If we want to make spiritual progress, drita vrata, vows of determination are absolutely essential. A few days ago was Christmas, so we're quoting Lord Jesus a few times. He said, either you be hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, I spit you out.
Hare Krishna.
Very honest statement. We must have determination. Because Maya Devi is trying to trap us at every step. Material energy is trying to just take away the moments of our precious human life. Moment after moment after moment. Without vows of determination, we don't really go anywhere. Today it's so fanciful that people who preach so-called religion, they accumulate millions of followers because they tell what they want to hear. You don't have to change your life. You don't have to struggle or try. You know, you just chant a mantra or do some breath control or give me some money. And you'll be liberated. Just do this one little thing. Just do this meditation. And it'll be all right. You don't have to change your lifestyle. But where in any scripture of the world is this confirmed? Whether one's a Buddhist or a Jain or a Zoroastrian or a Hare Krishna or a Sanatan Dharmist or a Hindu or a Christian or a Muslim, it's rejected in every scripture by every saint. Jesus said, the narrow path is the path to the kingdom of God. The narrow path is where there is strictest, where it takes determination, and it's very difficult. The wide path leads to suffering and destruction. And Krishna tells in Gita, there is no question of yoga without controlling the mind and senses. Tani saravani samyamya yukta asita matpara. Krishna says, you must fix your consciousness on me and restrain the senses from doing the things that are not favorable to the advancement of spirituality. Only in Kali Yuga could people buy such propaganda that I'll be liberated. I can just go on doing everything. If I just do a little meditation or a little breath control or a little mantra or give some donation to someone or get some blessing, there must be determination. Drita brata. Material existence is like a river flowing downstream. It's leading to the ocean of birth and death and bondage. We have to swim upstream. And that takes determination. It takes effort. Are we sincere? That is the question. Are we actually sincere? Do we really want something substantial? Or are we just going to float downstream doing some meditation? And think that we might be a little more peaceful, but we're still flowing downstream. So New Year's is a time of resolution, which is a time to introspectively question,
what do I really want in life? And to make resolutions of determination to help us to achieve our goal. It's very important. When devotees take initiation, they take vows. Because actually, to take things seriously, vows are very, very powerful to help us. So what type of determined resolutions should we take on this day? We can inspect in which ways are we cheating? Which ways are we dishonest to humanity and to God and to the Vaishnavas? In which ways am I lazy from doing the right thing? In which ways am I habituated to doing the wrong things? In which ways am I allowing the association of material energy to steal my consciousness away from me? And to take seriously. And make maybe not necessarily vows, but resolutions in our life to be determined to give up our bad habits. To really make effort to overcome our weaknesses. To increase our enthusiasms to do the right things. To be honest. To be truthful. To be compassionate and kind to others. To offer all respects. To be humble. Actually, if we just make one resolution, we'll attain life's perfection. Trinadapi sunichena taror ivasihishmina amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. To strive to be humble like the grass, to be tolerant like the tree, to offer all respects to others, and to really sincerely make effort from our hearts to take shelter of the holy names. There are three essential principles on the path of bhakti. To worship the Lord in His avatar in the age of Kali by chanting His holy names. By sincerely, from our hearts, lovingly serving the Vaishnavas. And by being compassionate, well-wisher of all living beings. And what is separating us from following these three principles? That we should try to resolve to overcome. Even little by little, let us try to move in the right directions. And in the assembly of devotees, to pray at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. Let me always remember you. Help me to follow that path in which I could always remember you and never forget you. Help me to overcome my weaknesses and my laziness so that I can be a real servant of the Vaishnavas and a compassionate instrument within this world. Let me increase the sincerity in which I hear your glories, read Srila Prabhupada's books, and chant the names of the Lord. If we pray for these things, Krishna will hear our prayer. And if we are sincere, ananyas chintayanto mava yejana paryupashate, Krishna will give us all help. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, actually, Lochandas Thakur said about Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, Paramakaruna Pahundvijana Nitai Gaurachandra. tava avatara sarasiromani
kevala ananda kanda.
That these two brothers have come to teach the Yuga Dharma, which is revealed in the holy scriptures. And the process they give is simply joyful. Chanting, dancing, tasting prasad. It's a wonderful process. But to follow it properly, there must be determination to accept what is favorable and reject what is unfavorable for devotional service. And if we just make that sincere effort, manmana bhava madbhakto madjajim nam namaskuru mami vaishasi satyam te pratijani priyoshine. Just try to think of me always. Become my devotee, offer homage unto me. Worship me. Krishna promises, you will come to be without fail. So on this wonderful occasion where we have come together, let us consider these resolutions. Because we don't know. We don't know what wave of material existence may come upon us at any moment. We shouldn't waste time. It's a tragedy if the waves of material existence crash upon us and we lose our life without loving God. We've lost everything. And we don't want anyone to have to suffer that. That is a devotee. So let us on this day sincerely pray with sincere hearts for all those who were killed by this great catastrophe, and let us pray with very sincere hearts for the well-being, physical, emotional, and spiritual well-beings of all those who are suffering through this catastrophe. And let us pray for all living beings in the earth whose consciousness has been just flooded by the tidal wave of illusion and are wasting their lives. And let us pray sincerely that we can actually help them. As the servant of the servant of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Krishna, by spreading the glories of the holy name. New Year's Eve is also a time traditionally to become intoxicated. Yes? It is the nature of the soul to want to be intoxicated. So much intoxication. Trinakarta Prabhu and myself are from Chicago. During the 1920s and 30s, the U.S. government made a law called prohibition against all alcoholic beverages. Yes? And that's when the gangsters, they knew everyone wanted to get intoxicated. So they were bootlegging. They were making illegal alcohol and profusely selling it. Everyone had more alcohol than if the government made it legal. That's why ultimately the government made it legal. And they taxed on it, so they make some money off it, rather. People want to be intoxicated. I was speaking to someone from high society Bombay, and they told me at these high-class aristocratic parties, practically everybody has a glass of alcohol in their hands, and they're just walking around all night with glasses of alcohol. I've never been, I may never be, I pray, but this is what I'm told. So people want to become intoxicated. Where does this desire come from?
Because the nature of the soul is to be intoxicated with ecstatic love,
which is born of receiving the mercy of Krishna. The intoxication of love of God, it is eternal. You never come down. There's no hangovers. And that love of God, Prabhupada, is distributing all over the world. So tonight, we will take the supreme nectar of the most powerful of all intoxicants, the holy names. When drinking this intoxicant in association of the society of devotees, it becomes very ecstatic. Thank you very much. At this time, we would like to invite His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj to kindly speak to us. Should we ask the opinion of the devotees? Statement of Srila Prabhupada that he made exactly 30 years today in Bombay. Are you interested to hear this? In Bombay, December 31st, 1974, because I got mixed up in dates, it's actually 31 years ago. No, 30 years ago. No. Exactly 30 years ago. This is Srila Prabhupada's New Year's Eve message to us. Srila Prabhupada ki! In Vrindavan, everyone is overwhelmed with love of Krishna. When they cannot find Krishna, they become mad. Although they do not know that Krishna is God, this is pure love. Without any knowledge of the supreme, powerful, almighty, no contamination, pure love.
Ancestors. They can see how Srila Prabhupada came to save so many fallen souls like myself with such an ancestors like that.
No, you are utilizing your family's propensities to distribute the nectar of the holy name.
You know, everybody's going to hopefully make transcendental resolutions for 2005. So we have such a wonderful congregation here in Chaupati. Maybe one small resolution would be to bring as many people here as possible who have never been to Prabhupada's temple, to the lotus feet of Srila Radhanath Maharaj. Because like Bhagavatam said, a turban with jewels that has not bowed down before the Lord, or hands that have not served the deities or done devotional service, are like dead hands. So it is a fact that everybody, we're right on the verge of this tsunami wave of Maya coming at us. So it's like a fire. There's a great fire burning in Kali Yuga. So we have to bring as many people as possible to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. So I think that would be a fantastic resolution, to try to bring as many people here as possible. And also to teach them to make their homes temples, which is just as important, or goes hand in hand. You know, we were fortunate that Prabhupada came to America and gave us Krishna, because we didn't know about all the demigods and all so many different gods they worship here in India, you know. So we have to help people to understand what Krishna says, Ahang sarvasya bhavavo matak sarvam bhavatite, dhimat bhava jantimam buddha bhava samana. That he is the source of all spiritual material worlds. He is the Lord, the creator of all, and that we have to surrender our lives to him. So this is a great opportunity for all of us to make this new year a very wonderful year for preaching Krishna's glories and helping people come to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. Because actually, we're trying to enjoy so much in this life. Right? Karmis are trying to enjoy. My mother lives in a place called Las Vegas. Radhanath Swami Maharaj was talking about the mirage, how in the mirage in the desert, and you get closer and you think you're going to get some relief, but all you get is a mouthful of sand. So when Maharaj said mirage, I was thinking of Las Vegas, because there's one big hotel in Las Vegas called Mirage. And anybody who knows about Las Vegas, it's the same as the higher-ups of Bombay. Everybody has a drink in their hand. And there's millions and millions and millions of people that go to Las Vegas for this, just for this purpose. So it epitomizes Kali Yuga. Really does. And I've been there because I know my mother lives there, so I have to go visit her sometimes. So I see all the crazy things that go on there. It's pretty amazing. If you took some innocent young boy from India and just dropped him off in the middle of Las Vegas, he would be so bewildered. And all you hear is slot machines going and ding, 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 and people going crazy and smoking and drinking, and that's what it's all about. So basically in this Kali Yuga, that's what everybody's after. So somehow or another, make this resolution this year to bring as many people to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet as possible. That would be a great accomplishment. Hare Krishna.